Can you imagine a voice so powerful it topped the charts with a Disney duet? Yeah, we're going there. Peebo Bryson, baby.
Hey, it's Vixie Steele, and I'm feeling particularly feisty today. Buckle up, folks.
All right, let's set the stage. Robert Peebo Bryson, Greenville, South Carolina, 1951. He spent time on his granddad's farm in Malden while his mum dragged the family to see black artists who actually mattered. At 14, he was singing backup for Al Freeman and the Upsetters. A man butchered Peepo into Peebo, and the name stuck. By 16, he was out on the Chitlin circuit with Moses Dillard and the Textown Display, learning the grind the hard way. That's how you build a voice with miles on it. Not from a TikTok filter, but from smoky rooms and dodgy motels. In the early 70s, Eddie Bisco at Bang Records heard him and signed him as a writer, producer, arranger, not just a pretty tenor, a studio brain. In 1976, he released Underground Music, and that first album, Peebo, with cameos from Luther Vandross and Sissy Houston. If you're trading lines with Luther that early, you're not playing in the kiddie pool. Then, in 1977, he slid to Capitol and boom. Reaching for the Sky and Crosswinds both went gold in 1978. Feel the Fire, I'm So Into You, Crosswinds, pillars of the late night slow jam cathedrals. Respect where it's due. And then came the Disney 1-2 punch. Beauty and the Beast with Celine Dion, Grammy in 1992. A Whole New World with Regina Bell, Grammy in 1993. The first ever song from an animated film to hit number one on the Hot 100. That is not just a hit, that is a cultural landmark. Your nan knows it, your kid knows it, your ex pretends they don't, but they do. His tenor sits on those orchestral swells like silk on chrome. Controlled vibrato, phrasing for days. This is the good shit right here.
Important people in Peebo's orbit. Regina Bell, obviously. A duet chemistry clinic from Without You in 1987 to I Can't Imagine in 1991 to A Whole New World in 1992 and later Total Praise. Roberta Flack, the Born to Love partner in crime. Natalie Cole back in 1979 on We Are the Best of Friends. Angela Bofill on For You and I in 1988. The man was a premier duet engine, and that strategy, mate. You cross lanes with the right voices and you multiply audiences. That's how you live on R&B radio and adult contemporary at the same time without sounding like beige wallpaper. He wasn't a one-lane crooner either. He did Michigan Opera Theatre in Detroit in Porgy and Bess, playing Sport in Life, a legit tenor role with swagger and bite. Then he went international and won the Viña del Mar Festival in 2000, representing France of all things. Unbelievable! But not surprising, real singers adapt. Meanwhile, in 2018, he linked with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis on Stand for Love, reactivated Perspective Records, and showed the kids how polish and soul can still groove. Later in life, he married Tanya Boniface from the 411 and had a son nicknamed Kit, who sometimes popped up on stage. See? This is why I still have hope.
Now for the ugly bit. Why did the IRS seize and auction Peebo Bryson's stuff in 2003, including both Grammys? Here's the fact pattern. About $1.2 million in back taxes going back to 1984. Agents rolled up on his Atlanta home in August 2003, and out went electronics, a grand piano, multiple pairs of shoes, and yes, the Grammys. A family friend even bought the A Whole New World Grammy at auction just to return it to him. I shouldn't have to say this, but here we fucking are. That is brutal. My take. 1. Fame does not equal financial literacy. You can sing like a saint and still get steamrolled by compound interest and penalties. 2. The music biz is a labyrinth of recoupables, breakage, managers and contracts where artists get paid last and blamed first. 3. The tax system is merciless. Miss a step and they will sell your life back to you one trophy at a time. Can someone explain why this bullshit is allowed? We celebrate the voice on our screens, then strip the man's piano for parts. That's society for you. And before the comment warriors jump in, yeah, pay your taxes, obviously. But maybe don't design a system where a legend's legacy items become yard sale bargains because of paperwork and predatory accounting. I don't make the rules, but I do enforce them. And my rule is simple. Protect the art and the artist, or don't pretend you love music. Speaking of auctions gone sideways, I once bid on an antique jukebox online. Thought it was a cute replica for the studio. Yeah, no. Delivery guy shows up with a half-ton Wurlitzer that eats real coins and my entire month's budget. I'm standing there like, Jesus Christ, did I just buy a small car with neon trim? Read the fine print, mate. The listing had freight not included in microscopic letters. I had to borrow a pallet jack from a bloke who fixes pinball machines. Never again. Okay, let's take a breather from the nonsense. Bloody hell, that jukebox story gets me every time. Back to Peebo. The man survived the storm, kept touring, even bounced back from a heart attack in 2019. Then in 2026, he suffered a stroke and passed in Marietta, Georgia at 75. His final lap included an album called Grace. That is fitting. Grace is what he gave the world. Through the Fire in 1994. Can You Stop the Rain in 1991. The daily theme on One Life to Live. Decades of a voice that made hard days softer.
So here's where I land. Give him his flowers. Put Reaching for the Sky on tonight. Spin If Ever You Are in My Arms Again. And let it crush you in the best way. Belt A Whole New World if you must. I will not judge. And when the suits try to turn music into spreadsheets, tell them Peebo Bryson is not a line item. He is the reason people fall in love in the first place. Finally, someone gets it. And if that pisses off the bean counters, good. Turn it up and let the chorus drown them the fuck out.
All right, that's all I got. Go do something useful.
Tune in tomorrow for more unfiltered truth, because I've had it with this fucking nonsense and I'm just getting warmed up.